scripture again, and we'll take our text out of the 16th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, again, we just open this word of life. We just ask God that you'd help us dissect it, explain it in a proper way, and that the folks would be blessed in Jesus' precious name. Before going further, a few weeks ago, I said something about I was ministering somebody that gave me headaches and heartaches here at the church, and just in brief in a sermon, and I had a lady make a beeline to me right after church, and she pulled me over to the side, and Brother Stone, I said, yeah, I said, I know who you're talking about. I go, oh, you do? She says, yeah, I do. And she named the person. I said, no, you got it wrong. That's not who I was talking about. I said, well, it sure fit her. I said, well, you're right. It did. It would have fit her, but that's not who I was talking about. And I was talking about an adult, not a child. And that time, that person she was talking about was just a teenager, and the person I was talking about was a full-grown adult who should have known better, you know. And anyway, but she thought she had it all figured out, and but she didn't. Faith is essential. Your faith is essential. The Bible says for us to take the shield above all, taking the shield of faith. There's no person in this whole entire world is going to go to heaven without Jesus. No person whatsoever is going to heaven without Jesus. John 14:6, and some of this might sound repetitious from this morning, and I guess it does kind of go along together. What's it say up there, Brother Robbie? Put that up there. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except but by me. You have to have salvation. Without faith in Christ, and it's faith in Christ alone for your salvation. No other way is going to get you there. We are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whether we like it or not, even as saints, we still have our shortcomings. So we're all sinners. We need the grace of God. Amen. But we have to put on the shield of faith. Jesus Christ, God's Son, in the flesh, died on the cross for our sins. He died. That's the end of it. If you don't believe in that, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You might as well just go do whatever you want to do. I mean, it's going to mess your life up, but go do what you know. I'd rather, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't want to do some of the things non-Christians do, because it'll mess you up. It'll ruin your life. It creates heartache. So I don't want that, even if I wasn't a Christian. But Jesus is God's Son in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price on the cross, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. How come it's when you're going to have to speed it up, boy. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have to be born again. It's not a blood of goats or bulls, but of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross. Now you got to put your faith in him. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. We read that this morning. Have you already got it up there? No, you're slow again. 1 Corinthians 15:3. And for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the next verse says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. First, you've got to believe this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. That's a part of our salvation. That's now, Penny, I'm picking on him a little bit, so don't you get angry at me, okay? Don't get frustrated here. I'm just kidding. But we have to be saved by grace, okay? It's through the meritus grace of God through Jesus Christ that we are saved today. We put our faith in him. He paid the price for our sin so we can go to heaven. Church, that's my goal. We preached about it, talked about it quite a bit, our blessed hope this morning, and we simply have to accept it by faith. By faith, you take the shield of faith. I accept who I am in Christ because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I accepted him as my Savior, and I place him as my Lord. And so because of that, my faith is in him. I'm a Christian today. I'm saved by grace. I'm headed towards heaven. I accepted it simply by faith. I didn't have to do anything else except what he did on Calvary. That's how you get it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You cannot get yourself saved by doing good works. Good works are good. Actually, good works are a product of being saved. If you're a Christian, you'll have works. But works don't save you. You can donate to the Salvation Army till your bank account's empty. You can give to St. Jude's. You can give to this charity, to that charity. You can go build houses for Habitat for Humanity. You can do all kinds of charitable things, but that won't save you. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God in his grace provided a way to heaven free of charge. It didn't cost you anything. You just got to unwrap the gift. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins, and you're saved. It's totally a matter of faith, not works. He says, take the shield of faith. So it's not of works, it's of faith. Good works won't get you to heaven. It's not faith and good works that get you to heaven. It's faith plus nothing that gets you to heaven. It's your faith in God. And like I said, you'll have works if you are a Christian. You'll do something for God. And I'll tell you something else it'll do for you. And I just want to put this in parenthesis here. It'll prevent you from being selfish. I see selfishness in the church sometime. I'll leave that right there, and you can just run with that however you want to run with it. I'll leave it right there. But it's faith plus nothing that gets you into heaven. If you've not trusted Christ alone, put your faith in him for eternal life, you are not a Christian today. You have not been saved yet. You need to get saved. It's in Christ alone, through faith alone, for your eternal life. God is offering this free gift, and you must accept it by faith. Now, how many of you Christians here today? I think probably about all of you are Christians here today. There might be somebody trying to sneak in today undercover. The cover's being ripped back. If you come in here under a guise of being a Christian, you're not a Christian. I hope you see your inadequacies today. Not that you're inferior to us, but that you just need Christ. You just need to be saved. You need to put your faith in him. So faith is essential for eternal life. And Paul told us to take the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you don't have the shield of faith, you don't have any protection against Satan when he fires his wicked devices your direction, when he bombards you with all kinds of temptation, when he comes against you with tribulation. You don't have the ability to withstand him if you don't have the full armor of God on, but especially this shield of faith. And so it's essential. Ephesians 6:16, our text today, says, "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the wicked." And so we must have faith. So let's look at faith just a little bit for a few moments here. Just a little bit different way. The words "above all" here in this scripture carry the idea of adding to what has already been said. And so, above all, we've already talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the boots of peace. To have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Christian soldier is to take the shield of faith. You've already put these other pieces of armor on, and now he says, above all, take the shield of faith. So you put these things on, you need the shield of faith. The Roman soldier oftentimes had two shields that he could use. His first shield was a small shield held in his hand while a sword could be held in the other hand. So he'd have his shield and he would wield his sword, which is the word of, the word of God. And the first shield was that small one. The second shield that was used, referred to in our text, was much larger. It was approximately 4.5 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide and covered with metal and leather. This shield was sufficient to cover the soldier's entire body. They weren't real tall guys like we are today. There was no Shaquille O'Neals in the Roman army. Now, there might have been in the Philistine army, but not in the Roman army. Okay? And so they'd take this shield, and they'd oftentimes would stand next together and lock arms together, or just lock, maybe not lock arms, but they would stand next together, next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, and move forward against the enemy. They were a formidable army when they would go shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, and move forward towards the enemy. They were almost impenetrable. They almost couldn't get to them. So they would fight their enemy, and they just advanced forward. You know, they had their feet shod, and they had on them spikes in their shoes. I mean, they were moving forward. Nothing could hardly. So don't you think it'd be the same thing for a Christian if we put on our shield of faith, and we have on the rest of the armor, and we go shoulder to shoulder, and we start fighting the enemy? We just go shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, and we're going to fight that enemy. We're not going to let him penetrate our defenses. We're not going to let him get to us, because we have the shield of faith. Okay? And so it's very important that we have that. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's he talking about here? It's impossible to please God without the shield of faith. Another word for faith is trust. Without trust in God, it is impossible to please God. He wants your unadulterated trust. He wants you to trust him above everything, above everybody. It's an important part of friendship. We sing a song and we get happy singing, I am a friend of God. Oh, yeah, I'm a friend of God. Well, do you trust God? If you're a real friend of God, you trust God. You can trust your friends. Real friends won't turn their back on you. Real friends won't stab you in the back. Real friends will stand beside you in every storm, every situation that you face. They'll be there with you if you let them. If you allow them to, they'll be there for you. It's important. Trust is an important part of marriage. I've seen marriages ruined by lack of trust, and many marriages have been ruined. When trust is violated, it takes a long time for the marriage to be restored, if it's ever really restored. It's hard to build back trust once it's been violated. So is trust important between parents and children? I believe it is. Children need to learn to trust us, and we need to learn to trust them. When a child can't trust a parent, or a parent can't trust a child, the whole relationship is strained and often destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We take the shield of faith. The shield of faith is saying, I trust God for everything I need. And so if I don't trust him, he's not really my friend. But he's really your friend, but you're not really his if you really get right down to it. If you can't trust God, have you really put your faith in him if you can't trust him for every situation that you face, big or small? See, I think that's a problem in the church sometimes, is that we want to trust God sometimes for the big stuff. Maybe all the time for the small, yeah, God can do that. But when it really gets big, we run to outside sources. I'll give you an example. This person asked me some advice here recently, and I gave him some advice. I said, this is what you need to do, and I've faced this before in our family. Well, you need to do this, and this is how you handle that. And they didn't do it that way, and found out just recently they did it just opposite of what I said. And today, this morning, they're in turmoil. And they said, I should have listened to you. Should have done what you told me. But their lives turned upside down today because they didn't listen to the advice. And they called me for that advice. And I said, this is what you need to do. This is how you're going to have to handle this. I know it's going to be hard, but it's what you got to do. They did just opposite that this morning. Today, they're in turmoil. Now, it's going to work out. It's going to be all right. It's going to work itself out. But it just brought some more turmoil into their life and more heartache into their life, and something else to deal with that they don't need to deal with okay? I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, sometimes we don't take the advice that's biblical advice of our leadership, and it gets us in trouble. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I just happen to have that one. It was a good answer, and I was like, man. And I thought they'd agreed to it, but you know, it's hard, and it's the family situation, and it's things going on, and so I'm not going to go in detail, but they got it that the parent has to trust the child, or the grandparent has to trust the grandchild, and the grandchild has to trust the grandparent. But more than anything, we have to trust God. And so it's sad when the other person in a relationship does not trust a trustworthy person. It's difficult when you don't do that. If a wife is trustworthy and not trusted by her husband, it's sad. If a child is trustworthy, not trusted by the mother or the dad, that's sad. If they're trustworthy. You know, and for as I'm concerned, everybody's trustworthy until they break my trust. And I look for the good in everybody. And I've been stung more than once because I try to find the good in a situation and let it, you know, my wife can attest to that. I mean, we've been stung a lot of times because we trusted people who were untrustworthy. But we gave them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so you do that oftentimes, and it bites you in the. See, some of y'all went and thought something you shouldn't have thought, huh? Now you're making me think it. If a friend is not trusted by his friend, it's sad. So can God be trusted? Sure he can. Of course he can. But sometimes we don't act like it. He is. It's sad when we don't trust God. See, we're talking back the shield of faith, putting our faith, our trust in God. It's down to earth. We got to put our faith in God. So how can we tell when we're not trusting God? When we worry. When we're in fear. When we allow temptation to conquer us, we're not trusting God. It's obvious in these situations that we're simply not trusting God, not using the shield of faith. That's what it's for. When temptation comes, the enemy fires a fiery dart of temptation. The shield of faith fends it off. But when we're not trusting God, our faith shield is down, and the enemy gets in. The dart hits home. It hits its target. And we give in to temptation, or we give in to worry, or we give in to fear, or any number of things that the enemy will bring against us to tear us down, to discourage us, to cause us to give up on God, or finally come to the place we really don't trust God. And then many people will get to that place and they'll say, God did this to me. God didn't do it. You let down your shield of faith. You made yourself vulnerable to the enemy's attack. I got that word out, didn't I? Vulnerable to the enemy's attack. And then you want to blame God because the enemy got through. You didn't walk shoulder to shoulder with your Christian brothers. You didn't attend church faithfully. You weren't praying. You weren't seeking God. You weren't being led of the Spirit. And so the devil got in because you let the shield of faith or the shield of trust in God down. Okay? That's what happens to us oftentimes. So, have you ever stopped to think why we don't trust people? Or why we trust people, I should say. We trust people sometimes because they're family. We trust them because they're friends. We trust them because we know they care. We trust them because they've proven themselves trustworthy. We trust them because they have the power or ability to help us. We trust them. So why should we trust God? Well, we ought to trust God because He's family. He's our Heavenly Father. We'll trust family before we trust God. We'll trust a friend before we trust God. We'll trust anybody before we trust God. We'll certainly trust somebody we think we can get something from. Think about it. Somebody does good to you, somebody's help. Oh, I trust them. Oh, they got the answer because they're going to give you something. You need to think about that for a minute. I've known a lot of people. You come to them and you say, hey, do you realize them people don't even go to church? Oh, yeah, but they help me. Oh, yeah, they're my friend. They do for me. I had a guy who used to attend church here many, many years ago, and he's passed on to be with the Lord now. But anybody would help this guy, they were his friend. If they'd give him $10, they were his friend. They'd buy him a tank of gas, there's his friend. and they may be doing drugs, they may be an alcoholic, they may even be sleeping with his wife, but they gave him some money, and they helped him along, or they built something for him, or they gave him something, and they're his friend. But he wasn't putting faith and trust in God. He wasn't giving honor where honor was due, where God was the one that was opening the doors for him. Come on, I've known people like that, haven't you? Somebody does for them, they're their friend. They're my friend. And it doesn't matter how bad they are, they're my friend. I'm not saying you hadn't ought to have something to do with them. I'm just saying they're not your real friend. Your real friend is God. So we trust him. We should trust God because he's family. We should trust God because he's our friend. We should trust God because we know he cares. We should trust God because he has the power and ability to help us. We should trust God because he has proven that he is trustworthy. We'll trust others before we will God. But God's really the only one that's really, totally trustworthy. We all have friends that we feel like are our friends, but every one of us have probably been let down at one time or another by your friends. Right? Not always, but sometimes. So we have to trust. If someone said this, you can trust the one who died for you. Jesus died for us. You can trust him. When we're not trusting God, we are not pleasing God. When you're not putting faith in God, you're not pleasing God. We're here, we're told to take the shield of faith. How do we do that? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So how do we put the shield of faith on? We come to God in faith, knowing that and believing that he is, and that he is our rewarder. He's the one that's going to supply our need according to his riches and glory. He's the one that's going to bring us through the storm. He's the one that's going to calm the storm. He's the one that's going to bring health to our sick bodies. He's the one that's going to fix a broken marriage. He's the one that's going to mend a broken heart. He's the one that's going to come through when no other person or thing could come through for you. It's our God. We put our faith in God. He may be delaying the answer, but let me tell you, the answer is on the way. You may not see it today, but it's on the way. So we take the shield of faith. And there's two things missing here. First, we believe that God is. We believe that God is. Well, Pastor, we all believe in the existence of God, you might say. And I think we all believe in our heads, but sometimes we don't believe in our heart. We believe in our head. We have head knowledge, but we don't practice a belief of God in our hearts. We say we love God. We say we believe God. We say we trust God. We say we have trust in God, a faith in God. But when it comes right down where the rubber meets the road, oftentimes we don't really trust God. We really have no faith in God. We really don't think he's going to come through for us, when really he will if we'll put our faith. Put up the shield of faith and put down the idea that God doesn't love you, that God's not going to help you, that God's not trustworthy. But he didn't do it today. Well, he may do it tomorrow. And he may not. Well, I think he needs to be by Wednesday. He might not. But if he don't, the answer's still on the way. So we put our trust in God. We have to believe that God is. We need to act like we believe in God. Stop acting like we don't believe in God. Act like you believe in God. You say you believe in God, but do you trust him in your tight jams? You say you believe in God, but do you care about his opinion of your behavior? Some people say they love God and they go out and get drunk. Some people say they love God and they'll go commit adultery or fornication. Some people say they love God and they'll gossip about you behind your back. Some people say they love God and they'll never give a dime to the church. Well, you didn't have to say that. Then you got a problem with God. They don't trust God with their finance. Well, they don't. You say you believe God and you can't trust him with your finance, you don't trust God. Scripture says, and my God, Paul said this, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall. I could go to several other scriptures if you want me to, but I don't have time. Well, I have time, and it's not going to take it. But you don't act like God. You don't act like you believe Him. But by taking the shield of faith, you say, I believe in God's existence as a part of my everyday life. I'm going to take up the shield of faith today. I'm going to trust God to bring me through. I'm going to trust God to meet my financial need. I'm going to trust God to meet my spiritual need. I'm going to trust God to meet my emotional need today. I'm going to trust God to take care of that relationship that's been strained. I'm going to trust God to come through. Just a simple example here. My mom's been trusting God for 3 years that she would restore that. He would restore a relationship with my younger brother. Well, just this year, through a tragic accident, my brother's relationship with her has been restored. It took a tragic accident, him nearly dying, for him to realize that he had severed a relationship with his family, and now he is now contacting us. He is now in contact with us, and he is seeing Mom about every 2 weeks. He hadn't seen her in 2 years. He's now seen her almost every 2 weeks since his accident. And not just her going to see him, he has come to see her every 2 weeks for the last several weeks. And that didn't happen for over 2 years, closer to 3 years. And all of a sudden, something broke. You say, well, if he can't move no quicker than that, I don't know if I want him to move. Well, it's okay. Just live without faith. Live without trust. Don't believe God can do it. He won't. But see, he came through. You understand what I'm saying? He came through. Right? He came through. Just when he thought he wouldn't, and just about gave up, he came through. I would counsel Mom, leave Dwayne alone. Don't call him. Don't bug him. Leave him alone. Let God work on him. Didn't I tell you that? Let God work on him. Quit bugging him. Oh, she wouldn't listen to me either. Why'd I try? Anyway, but God came through. God came through. So we got to believe in God. We got to take the shield of faith. It has to be a part of our existence, of what we do every single day. But there's more. We don't only believe in God's existence, but we also believe that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. I believe He rewards those who really, really seek Him with all their hearts. He rewards you. He brings you through many tight situations. He moves when it doesn't seem like anything else is going to happen. He moves when it seems like there's no hope. God moves. Because if you're seeking Him daily, you're walking in a close, trusting relationship with Him, God is going to come through. You've got to seek Him diligently. Millions of people say they believe that God answers prayer, but the ones who truly believe God answers prayer, pray. See, a lot of people say, well, yeah, I believe that God answers prayer, but they never pray. They never have prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. They just kind of, yeah, God's going to do it. Oh, they'll come to you or me, somebody they know that prays, say, pray for me. Pray for my loved one. Pray for the final. Sometimes, like, why don't you pray for them yourself? I'll pray with them, but why don't you pray for them? Quit asking me to do your work. Get down and dirty yourself. Get on your face, on your carpet. Bury your nose down in there and pray till you get a release. Come on now. If you really trust God, you'll do it. You'll pray diligently. God blesses those and answers the prayer of those who pray diligently. Seek Him diligently. And after that, then what do? You just, after you pray, you simply believe God will answer. That's faith. Look at Psalms 37, verse 5. There. And commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Show the next one, Brother Robbie. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and God, in my God, in Him will I trust. Come on. When you really pray, you put your faith in God. Okay, I've prayed. I've sought God. I seek Him every day. I can trust Him. I commit my way to Him. I trust Him. Look at the next one. Psalms 3. No, yeah, Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You just put all your trust in God and you stop trying to figure it out yourself. I can't figure it out. I don't know exactly what to do, but I know God does. I've been praying about something for months now. And I said, God, I need your direction. Lord, I need you to show me something. Lord, I need you to show me plainly. I'm thick-headed. You may have to take a big stick to me. but open the eyes of my heart. Let me see what you want me to do. Show me the way. Give me direction so I won't displease you, so I can walk in your perfect will. That's what we all need to say. Lord, show me your way. I want to be diligent about this. I want to be in tune with God. I want to trust God to guide me the right direction. I don't want to displease God. I've walked in that direction before. I've displeased God before, and it doesn't lead the right way. The outcome's not the outcome I want. It's not the way I want to go. I want to please God. And you ought to, too. And so we do that. So that's faith. And so there's profit in faith. Hey, I'm almost done. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, there wasn't enough of you said, praise the Lord, so I'm going to add some to this. Now, can I get a good praise the Lord? I thought I might be able to. Anyway, and so there's profit to faith. According to Vision 6:16, the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. It quenches every single one of them. It didn't say part of them. Didn't say every once in a while. It says every time the devil shoots one of his fiery darts or one of his temptations or one of his illnesses or one of his doubts or one of his fears or one of the things he would use against you, it says the shield of faith quenches it. It stops it. Stops it in his tracks. See, a Roman soldier's shield was covered with leather and would not only stop the arrows or the darts of the enemy, but if they were fiery darts, the fire would be put out. No matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what he comes at you with, God's shield will stop it. That's a benefit of serving God. The devil can't get through the shield of faith. He can't get to you. He can't get through God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I put my faith in God. I trust him. And so there's even more profit to the one who uses the shield of faith. God rewards him according to Hebrews 11:6. God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Have faith in God. And he's a rewarder of those who, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he is that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. What's he give you? He gives you more faith, hope, peace, joy, healthy body, meets your financial needs, comes through for you in every storm. God's there. Every one of you's had storms. I'm looking at a lady right there that had 8 weeks in the hospital, I think it was. It's like forever. And I know it was a long time for her. In the hospital. God came through. She's sitting on church pew today. How does she do that? Because of the faith of her children and her faith. Your faith, we bound together, we got our shields up, and we walk side by side praying for her every service. Devil, you can't get through no more. We're going to have victory here. Sister Barbara's going to be delivered. She's going to be healed. She's going to be raised up. Her body's going to come in alignment with the will of God. And it finally did. That doctor said she's going to die. She lives. She's alive today. Because they say you ain't leaving the hospital, what they mean is that you're going to die. You're going to leave, but you ain't leaving healthy. She left. She came home, finished recuperating. She's back in church as soon as she can. She still has some problems. Why, yeah, but God's still strong. Amen. So God rewards us. God gives us direction. Gives direction to us according to Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. That's our God. If you trust him, lean not on your own understanding. Put your faith in God. That's what's going to happen. And then he protects us according to Psalms 91:1. And he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's protection, church. He protects us. He keeps his hand upon us. He watches over us. There's profit in faith. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's our God. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us thou shalt condemn. There's all kinds of scripture to base this upon. All kinds of promises of God. If we'll just have faith. Trust in God. Trust in God. Amen? Stand with me.